Yeah. Eile mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Ve'eile mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. So Rashi says, I mean, actually, before Rashi, we have the Vav there. The Vav is connecting it, right? If it had said Eile Mishpatim, so we'd say this is the only thing. Right? It says Ve'ele, so it's coming to add. Ve'ele Mishpatim. Ve'ele Mishpatim. To tell us that in addition, right? In addition to what we heard at Sinai, or what we recognize as having heard at Sinai in Parshas Yisrael, Ve'ele Mishpatim, also Mishpatim. As she says, Ve'ele Mishpatim, Kol Mokim Shenemar Eile, Pasal Es HaRishonim. It's telling us that whatever you think before, no, it's not what you thought before, it's what it is now, Eile. But here it says Ve'ele. So Ve'ele, right, Ve'ele, it's telling us, Ve'ele Mosif HaRishonim, Ma Rishonim Misinai, Af Eilu Misinai. Just as the Rishonim were from Sinai, so too these also were from Sinai. And the question being, why would you think they're not from Sinai? Because why would you think they're not from Sinai? Where else did you come from? But with Mishpatim, right? Mishpatim is all the civil law, you know, the laws that govern the way people deal with each other. We talk about theft, we talk about damages, about slavery, because which is a form of restitution after theft. All these things. You might think, okay, fine. These are the civil ordinances. They're based upon the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, and that's what you need in order just to maintain the society. Says Rashi, no. The Eile Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem, my, what do you call it? Just like the Rishonim from Sinai. This is also from Sinai. This is also from Sinai. This is a very fundamental idea, that the idea that that the mishpat, even the mishpatim, even the civil law, is also right from Sinai. Its origin is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Its origin is from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Why would you think otherwise?
Again, because maskim. But you might have thought, like, let's say, oh, I don't know. The Torah unfolds. The Torah is, there are two luchos. The Maral talks about in his Sefer, that talks about Matan Torah, Tiferes Yisrael. So he talks about the idea that, the two luchos of the luchos of Bris, one luach focuses on our relationship, on developing our relationship with Elohim, and the second luach deals on our relationship with the Tzelem Elohim, man made in the image of God. Kaviyach, I mean, that terminology image is a little, what do you call it, you know, maybe inappropriate, but that's what they translate it as, the Tzelem Elohim. In other words, the Mishpatim are not just reactive. The Mishpatim are their source is with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's part of it's part of the structure of the world. The Mishpatim, just as much as all the dinim of Shabbos and Yontif and etc. Those are the structure of the world. So Sutotu also the what he called the dinim of how you're dealing with another person, also part of the structure of the world. The Eile Mishpatim. Right, the Eile Mishpatim. Rashi also says, "V'lama nisbecha parshas dinin parshas mizbeach lo melacha." Right, lo melacha, says Rashi, "Shetosim Sanhedrin eitzel ha mizbeach." The Sanhedrin needs to be near the mizbeach. Right, the Sanhedrin needs to be near. What? The Lishkas HaGadol. Right, the court of hewn stone. Right, it's also based on Mikdash. Near the Mizbeach, which is interesting. It's very interesting. near the Mizbeach. Near the Mizbeach. I mean, the Mizbeach It's interesting that this also relates to the idea of the interrelationship between dealing with people and dealing with Hashem. And it's really how the two are so deeply interrelated. In other words, just like we said before, Ve'ele Mishpatim Shatasim Lifnehem. These are the Mishpatim, Ma Rishonim Misinai. So too, also these are Sinai. That a person should realize the dealing with the Tzelem Elohim is as important as learning how to deal with Elohim. Because really, it's two different aspects of our relationship. It's not like you get the way you deal with another person is just be a goody goody, you know, whatever it is. It's the idea the way you deal with another person is the way you're dealing with Tzelem Elohim. It's part of Kavod Shamayim. That's the way that Tziv explains the idea Derech Agav of Gdola Hachnosis Orchim Yosef Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina, right? It's not that Tziv, that's just the Maral explains like that. When Avraham Avinu left his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he's davening, he's praying to Hashem, he's having a conversation called Yahu with Rabbon Shalom, and he takes leave of him in order to be Machnis Orchim. So Chazal learned that Gadol Achnas Orchim, or Gadol Achnas Orchim, Yosef Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina. That what he called that Achnas Orchim is greater than Kabolas Pnei Hashchina. It's not.
So we learn Avraham Avinu.
Right, it's really cool. We learn from Avraham Avinu, but it says the Maral. The idea is because when you're dealing with Elohim, so to a degree, it's like an abstraction. It's not an abstraction. I mean, you know that he's there, but it's not like he's in right there in front of you. But if he presents you with a Tzelem Elohim, when he presents you with another person. And you have the opportunity to relate to that other person using the Torah, so that drives home his batlus to the Torah much more deeply. You know what I'm saying? In other words, when you deal with the Rabbonu Shalom. So to be misbatel to the Rebbe Shalom, you're negating yourself before someone you can't see, right? And someone who's totally beyond you. So the hisbatlus there is okay. That's understandable. Of course, you're batel before the Creator. But when the Creator tells you to be misbatel, right? That you should be in a state of anivus. You should be humble in the presence of another Tzelem Elohim. So then all of a sudden, wait a second, it's me, myself, and I, right? In other words, everybody else is going to take back seat. It's me first.
I'm a Tzelem Elohim.
You're a Tzelem Elohim, right?
So if I'm a Tzelem Elohim,
yeah.
Why do I have to bump myself in front of another?
Because the...
I'm not arguing.
Yeah, right. Because if the goal is that you should be attached to the Rebbe Shalom more deeply, rather than have your live in a God-centric universe rather than an egocentric universe. So to break the egocentric universe, you actually sometimes accomplish that on a better level
by being humble,
by being willing to humble yourself before, right? Before another person. Why? Because he's a Tzelem Elohim. Right? It's not just I'm going to humble myself. Why? Because I'm just for the sake of him. I'm humbling myself before the fact because he's a Tzelem Elohim. This is a super big idea. This is such a super big idea. Right? This is a super big idea. The Sfasemis, not the one that I printed out over here, different Sfasemis, says that he brings the name of his father, I think in the name of Rav Simcha Bunim, Yipshischa. He says, this is the Sfas Emes in Tarla, Tofesh Lamed Aleph. He says, Perish, Eile Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Place the Mishpatim before them. And as the Mishpatim have precedence in your consciousness, in importance, in value, in their central nature more so than yourself. Place them before you. So you hear him saying, but just like Nasa v'nishma, when you say Nasa v'nishma, I'm being mavatal myself before Hashem because I'm saying I'll do it before I even understand it. What do you mean I'll do it before I understand it? You can only be willing to do something before you understand it, only if you completely humbled yourself and are mavatal yourself, negate yourself before the one who's telling you what to do. Otherwise you can't possibly do that. Why would you do it? So that's one aspect. That's vis-a-vis the Creator. That's vis-a-vis the Creator. Now there's another aspect over here. In Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifneim, here we're talking about Tzadetzelem Elohim, like tomorrow.
Please.
What?
Tassim is the place.
The place, yeah. Tassim with Nahem, place it, says Rabinam, Mipshisch. He says, place it before you. In other words, the Mishpatim. How are you going to deal with someone, I'll pee the Torah? How are you going to deal with someone, I'll pee the Torah, that's going to be before you? Has to be before you, that's going to be more important than you. Because in interpersonal relationships, That's where the biggest challenge. It's so fascinating, right? That's where the biggest challenge is, of placing the Torah's word before you. Everybody's got their own opinion in terms of, you know, in terms of how the when I'm placing in my dealings with somebody else, because like, that's the biggest problem. Everybody's an expert, you know, what do you call it, in terms of money, my money, you know, and what do you call it, what to do over here, right? You're always going to place you, your money, your damages, the thefts, the what do you call it, all these issues. You want to play, you would call it, it's me. It's a special din. It's like Natsav Nishma. Just like Natsav Nishma was a statement of his batlus, right? A statement of self-negation before, right? Before before the Creator, right? We'll do before we understand. That shows a complete betrayal of self, a complete acceptance of his authority. Natsav Nishma. But there, the advantage is okay, because I'm talking about the Creator of the universe. I'm talking about something I obviously can't wrap my head around, so okay, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. The Goyim weren't willing to do it, right? Only Kaiser was willing to do it. It's a big thing, to say Nasa v'nishma. But now, the Eile Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifneihem, so says Rashi, just like the first ones were from Sinai, so too the Mishpatim are also from Sinai. Right, also from Sinai. The idea being, it has the same structure as at Sinai. Just at Sinai, the way you accepted the Torah in general was not of an Ishma. So too, says Rav Simcha Bunim, yeah. So too, the Mishpatim, which are tossing with Nehem, the Mishpat's gotta be before you. There's usually tussing the Fnehem. Do you hear the Remez? Ordinarily tussing the Fnehem, place them before you. placing before you. This is like, ani misim lefanech, I'm placing it before you. Rabbinim says the remez in it is, tasim lefneim, it should be before you in importance. And that's a much more difficult proposition. That's a very difficult proposition. Because even if you have your, even if you have the capacity to place the Elohim before you in your dealings with the Elohim, because okay, because you recognize he's what he called, he's you can't wrap your head around him. So okay, fine, I'll place him before me. But do you have the capacity also when he tells you that before you there's a Tzelem Elohim, and the way you should relate to him shouldn't be in an egocentric fashion, but should be based upon the way the Torah says how to relate to him through the Mishpatim. Can you also be Mesim Dat Lifanecha? Before you, take precedence to yourself? Can you? That's a tough job. It's like the story we once talked about. Remember the story with, I can't remember if it was the Rionis and Apeshitz it was definitely what he calls it. Definitely wasn't the Chassidim. All right, I could use it was Rionis and Apeshitz, or it could have been someone else also. It doesn't make a difference. I think it was Rionis and Apeshitz. Anyways, he wasn't. We did the story before where he wasn't going to make home before Yom Nerayim. He wasn't going to make home before Nerayim. No, that's a Gemara. You know, he couldn't make it home in time, and so he had to stay. What he called, he had to stay in this town, and he was there for slichas. And he comes to the shul, and he's obviously, and this guy is going is davening. I said, "Ich bin gornish. I'm nothing. Ich bin gornish. Ich bin gornish." Right, and the tears are flowing down his face. They had to bring out the sponge mops, right, in order to clean it up. The guy was a mess. And the next night also, he says, whoa, this is heavy duty. He goes to the Gabbai, he says, can I sit next to this guy on Yontif, right, on Yom Kippur? He says, yeah, sure, fine. He sits next to him, hold on, Ich bin gornish, boo, boo, Ich bin gornish. Then comes to Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, the Gabbai gives somebody on the other side of the shul shlishi, and this guy gets up and opens up a mouth, whoa. He washes the floor with the Gabbai. All your taste is in your mouth. You gave that guy shlishi, but you don't know what you're doing with that. He's chashiv number. Well, back and forth, and like, you know, again, I think it's Rivion Stations, but I think I may have heard about somebody else. He's like, whoa, okay. Couldn't talk to this guy now. I mean, he was like a volcano. He's after Yom Kippur, he comes to me. He says, tell me, Rabbi. He says, I don't understand something. All the time that we were davening slichas, the floor was awash with your tears. Ich bin gornish. I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm no one. Ich bin gornish. I am nobody. I'm nobody. He said, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's an incredible humility. And I saw it heartfelt. But then all of a sudden, you know, during, you flipped out of your gazoo. All right? And you washed the floor with the Gabbai because he gave you a leader, somebody who wasn't according to your liking. What's the story, man? I mean, it's exactly like that, but whatever. He says, what's happening? He says to him, he says, I don't understand what your question is. Next to the Bona Shalom, I should be gornished. Next to that jerk, I should be gornished. So Rabbi and Apeshitz, again, whoever it was, the story says, now I understand the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Godel Masha Namar, Eitzel, right? Moshe Aram and Masha Namar, Eitzel Avram Avinu. Greater is that which is said by Moshe and Aram than that which is said Legabi Avram Avinu. Why? Because by Moshe Aharon it says Vanachnu Ma. Who are we? Right? And Avram Avinu Sanochi Offer Ve'Efer. So usually the understanding is Vanachnu Ma. What? Like, well, I can't even say Offer Ve'Efer. Right? Avram says I'm just Offer Ve'Efer. I'm just dust and ashes. But that's already something. And Moshe says Vanachnu Ma or Aaron Ma or what are we? So people usually understand. So what is less than what we call dust and ashes? He said, but that didn't really make any sense to me. He said, what's the difference? I mean, really, is there such a difference between calling yourself what and calling yourself dust and ashes? I said, but now I understand. He said, that's not the pshat in the Gemara. Gemara is not in the terminology. The pshat in the Gemara is whom you're talking to. Moshe, Avraham Avinu, when he said of Anochi Ofer Eifer, he's talking with a born shalom. Moshe and Aaron. Yeah, when they said Vanachnu Ma, they're talking to the people in Klai Yisrael who are giving him a hard time. To be able to say your batel before a bus of a dumb is a much tougher job than to be able to say you're buttled, ich bin garnished, yeah, before the Rabbonu Shalom. So the Eilim Shpatim Shartasim Lifneim, right, sort of Binim, starts off the Parsha, says, yeah, Rashi tells us that just like the ones in Yisrael are said in Sinai, so too these are said in Sinai. So like, what's the Chiddush? He says, because it's Tasim Lifneim, it has to be placed before them. It has to take precedence over them. The Mishpatim take precedence over them. What does that mean, take precedence over them? It means that the Hizbatlus, don't think that your Hizbatlus is sufficient when you're talking about Yisro with a sound and light show. The Hizbatlus has got to be manifest when you're dealing with another bus of Adam. You Mivatl yourself to the way the Torah says to relate to him, and not the way you want to relate to him. Yeah, maybe recall. There's a few places. They recall, right? But you're right, yeah. Also in by Korach, there it says of Aaron Mahu Kisalino Olav, right? It's also right. But the same idea, yeah. Fine. In addition, just to what we mentioned before, that what Rashi said that the smichus aparshios, of Mishpatim to the Mizbeach, right? The last thing in Parshas Yisro was the story of the Mizbeach. So, right. So it's an interesting thing. So it tells us that the Sanhedrin has to be near the Mizbeach. There's a lot of ways you can understand that. There's a lot of ways that you can understand it. In other words, just as the Mizbeach cleanses a person on a sacrificial level. So too, the Mishpat of the Sanhedrin has the capacity to cleanse a person. In other words, if they are the foundations of Mishpat in Klal Yisrael, we know that when a Jewish Bezdin adjudicates a case here on the earth, and when they set the tone for Mishpat here on the earth, if there's Mishpat here on the earth, we don't need Mishpat min HaShemayim. It also cleanses a person. When he causes a person to return the theft or to pay for the damages, etc., etc., etc. When Mishpat, proper Mishpat is done on your earth by Jewish Bataydinim, there's no need for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to intervene and bring more severe, more drastic, almost, I don't want to say draconian, but whatever, but he called more severe in nature, Mishpat Min HaShemayim.
We're channeling Hashem's Ratzon.
Right, Bidiyuk.
That's when the case is resolved, both sides are moda that is the way it's supposed to be,
right?
And they walk away like that because that's what Hashem's will,
right?
This is supposed to be. So I mean,
that's the ideal way. So that's also cleansing, as it were, cleansing. It's also interesting. It's also interesting in the interrelationship. If you remember correctly, at the end of Yisro, so it says over there, it says in Mizbach Avanim, the last pasuk in Yisro, the last two pasukim, in Mizbach Avanim Taasali, make a Mizbach, we will see Nes and Gazis, right? Ki Charbach HaNaftalech HaVatichalei, don't cut the stones with metal, etc. Yeah, because you what?
Weapons.
Right. So you shouldn't use that for what we call to making the Mizbeach, because making the Mizbeach is meant to be a place of peace, etc. Fine. Then the last pasuk says, "V'losala b'malos al mizbechi asher lo segale ervascha alav." Don't rise up on steps before the Mizbeach asher lo segale ervascha alav. Don't walk up steps. And before the Mizbeach, they had the kevesh, they had a ramp, not a staircase. "V'losala b'malos al mizbechi asher lo segale ervascha alav." Don't rise up on steps upon my Mizbeach so that your nakedness should be exposed. So Rashi says, he says, if you have stairs, you have to distance your feet one from another. Whereas with the Kohanim, when they would walk up the Kevesh, they would walk, you know, like Hila Kantara, you know, a heel to toe, right, etc. So they didn't have to distance their feet. Okay, the Avo Bishit, right? So once you distance your feet, when they're together, so then it's Kilo, you're hiding your nakedness. When you separate your feet, making bigger strides, right, they can take this and walk up a staircase, etc. So you're Kilo exposing your nakedness. So says Rashi, even though really there is no gilui over here, because the part of the big nekuna were mechnasayim. You have to wear pants underneath. It wasn't like the guys wearing a robe without having any mechnasayim, without any pantaloons underneath him. He's got those pantaloons. He's got his mechnasayim. He says, that even though it's not gilui erva mamish, shereik siva seilehen mechnasay bad mikomakom hachovas apsios korov legilui ervu. It's all be, in other words, the person's nakedness, the Kohen's nakedness is covered, but potentially, had it not been covered, since this would be an exposure. So to teach a person a level of sensitivity, right, to show greater respect for the stones, as it were, as he walks up to the Mizbeach, greater respect, says Rashi. Now this is a kal v'chomer. If a person is meant to show deference, sensitivity, respect vis-a-vis stones that are stones, right?
Yes, but it is the mizbeach.
It's true, but the stones. The stones.
Stones.
What?
Not that people should see them on the garments, but it's the stones that should see them.
Right, but he called it, I mean, again, even stone's not seeing anything. But you should show sensitivity. What he called, shouldn't have stairs. Shouldn't broaden your steps. Umar avonim halo she'in behem da'as ha'akvir al bizyonam amra Torah ho'il v'yesh behem tzorech lo tinag behem minag bizayon. They have a purpose. They're serving a job description here in the world. So therefore, you shouldn't be mivaza them. Everything's got a purpose. Don't be mivaza anything, because everything's got a purpose. These stones certainly have a purpose. These stones, what do you call them? They're the way up to the mizbeach.
The third base
man is going to have a mess. Okay, we'll ignore that. I don't think it's true. Chavercha, your friend, your fellow, shubidmus yotzrecha, who is in the same dmus kaviyachol is the creator. Umakpid al mizyono. And his, it does hurt him if you treat him shabbily. It does hurt him if you treat him shabbily. Alachas kama kama, certainly you have to be very, very careful so as not at all to harm him, to shame him, to show any sort of lessening of his kavod.
Is that masculine or feminine?
It's both.
Thank you.
Honey. Okay. You got it?
Got it.
Good. So at any event, so what do you call it? So look at the end of Yisro and the beginning of Mishpatim. Like look at the end of Yisro and the beginning of Mishpatim. The end of Yisro you learn from the Mizbeach, which is a place just between you and the Ribbono Shel. But you learn from your relationship vis-a-vis the Roshon, the Avodah HaMizbeach, you learn by and by how to treat your fellow man. Right? How to treat your fellow man. And here in the beginning of Mishpatim, Rashi says the juxtapositioning between Mishpatim and Mizbeach tells you, and the Sanhedrin needs to be near the Mizbeach. So you have the two, as it were, the two luchos, the mishpat of the Sanhedrin has got to be understood as being an extension of one's spiritual relationship with the Ribbono Shel. It's going to be near the mizbeach, and the mizbeach, right? The mizbeach, which is the symbol of the person's spiritual relationship vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel, teaches the person, right, how to deal with his fellow man. So the two luchos, like the Maharal says, the two luchos. One teaches, but they come together. One represents how you deal with Elohim. The other one teaches you how to deal with Selem Elohim. And, right? But they come together. The two luchos that are together, that came together both at Sinai. how to deal with Elokim, and he'll deal with the Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim.
By the way, the two Ruchos were attached, though, weren't they? They weren't separate.
Okay, we've said them, but so each one's a separate Ruch. Right.
Between how you treat your fellow man and God.
Okay. So that's very interesting. And also the way that Rav Binim said, the remes, Elim Shvashir Tashir Tossim Lifnehem. It doesn't just, the pshat is that you should place it before them. Like Rashi explains also, you place it before them, organize, they should understand it with the timing, etc. But in addition, Tossim Lifnehem, it should be before them. It should take precedence over them. The way you'll deal with the person through the Torah should take precedence over way, the way your own ego would tell you how to deal with the person. Right, well, Bitsader, your feelings, your ego says, I want to deal with this person this way.
Right.
Right? My consciousness, what tells me how to deal with this person, says, no, tosim lifneim. The mishpatim of the Torah, the derech of the Torah should teach you how to deal with the person. Because you're going to deal with him the way you think. Again, it doesn't mean you shut down your brain. But the fact is that what he called you're no gabadavar. If you haven't put, as it were, the mishpatim of the Torah to be in this position of precedence to your own feelings, your own yachas, your own way that you relate to the person, you're no gabadavar. Right? You first of all, you shoot from the hip then. You bug me, so the hell with you. Right? Right, take a flying leap, take a long walk off a pier at Montauk, what they call it, you know, and hopefully this is what they call Jaws is waiting for you at the end. Right? That's when you shoot from the hip. When you shoot from the hip. If the mishpatim are lefanecha, then you don't have the capacity, as it were, to answer without it being filtered through what he called through whatever it is, through the what do you call it, the dinim of the what do you call it, of the Torah. It's not possible. It's Uncle Hill, I think. I don't know. Okay. Fine. So now let's take a look at this medrash here in the Sfas Emes. Well, okay. It says Davarach ve'elu mishpatim. Who would yichsiv magid dvarav liyakov elu adibros? Right, the pasuk says we say it in Pesukei Zimra. Magid dvarav liyakov chukav mishpatav liyisrael lo asachen lechol goy umishpatim bal yedaum haluluka. Right. And we say in Pesukei Zimra, in the Halukas. Davar Achav, in Mishpatim, Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Elu Adibros. So when it says Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, those are the Dibros. Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, his Diburim, LeYaakov. Elu Adibros, Chukav Mishpatav LeYisrael, Elu Mishpatim. It's interesting. Magid dvarav liYaakov elu adibros chukav mishpatav liYisrael elu hamishpatim. Where'd the chok go? Again, Hashem tells over his dvarim to Yaakov. And chukav mishpatav. What's a chok? A chok are those things that are nearly that you don't understand. Mishpatav are the types of mitzvahs where we do understand. Those are the, you know, civil jurisprudence. Those laws that govern our everyday interactions with the Tzelmei Elokim. So, but the Medrash seems to say Magid Var LeYaakov is what he called is Elo Adibros. That's what Hashem's dibur. He said to us at Sinai in Parshas Yisro, Seres Adibros, Magid Dvar LeYaakov, Chukov uMishpatav, right? LeYisrael Elo Mishpatim. So Mishpatim explains the Mishpatav. It doesn't explain the Chukim. V'she'en midosav shal Kodesh Baruch Hu kemidas basav adam. So the first thing the Medrash says that the mida of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not like the mida of a basav adam.
What's the
basar vadam, flesh and blood. Okay. Truth is maybe because so that's midas basar vadam more la achirim la asos v'hu enos ose. The way a person is, usually a person is do as I say, not as I do. Unfortunately, right? It's not a very good technique in chinuch, but what can I say? That's what happens. Do as I say, not as I do. That's a bus of a dumb. But the Rabbeinu Shalom, right? Mora the barachin lasos v'hueno osa klum. A Kodesh Baruch Hu eino kein elamashu ose hu omer. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu does, he says. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu does, he says. What he does, he says. What? Okay, interesting, right? Right? What he does, he says. Who omerly Israel lasos.
What we're doing is what he's saying.
Okay, well, let's see. Right? Shu ose vu omer, right? Li Israel lasos vlishbor vlishmor. So he is ose, and then he's omer Israel lasos vlishmor. He does. And he says to Israel, you also do and guard it. Lasos v'lishmor. Do it and guard it. Do it and guard it. So let's go, look at Tzfas Emes. I'm afraid to get lost in the whole Medrash. Right? Let's look at Tzfas Emes there in the bottom. The Medrash. Magid Dvarav Liyakov. Chukov Mishpav Yisrael. That's all Medrash. Right? And there's more there, but we spent a lot of time on something else, and we bought, and anyway, we'll get lost. I think we'll get lost in the Medrash. There won't be anybody left by the time we get to the Tzfas Emes. So let's see the Tzfas Emes. Just on the first part, that's enough. So you already pointed out something. It should be that God says and does. Instead, the Medrash says he does and says. The order in the Medrash is he does, he says to Klal Yisrael to do and to guard. That's what it says, right? Mahu ose, who omer li Yisrael, what he does, he says to Yisrael, lasos v'lishmor, to do and to guard. To do and to guard. So says the Tzfas Emes on the bottom there. Medrash, magi dvar li Yaakov, chukov mishpatim Yisrael, osochein l'chogoi, mishpatim bal yodum, haluluka. Yeah? Ayin sham divrei medrash. Perish. Dvarav hu aseres adibros. Magid dvarav li Yaakov. Those are aseres adibros. V'hu hanhagoso yizborach es kol habriya. In other words, the dibur, right? The dibur of Hashem, dibur is also a loshana of hanhaga, of guidance. Dibur. We think of dibur as speech, but dibur is not just speech. When you talk about two people talking to each other, you talk about the dibur between them. You don't talk about the amira. Amir to say. Right? Dibur is speech one to another. Dibarti. Right? Anu midabrim. We don't say anu umrim biyachad. Anu midabrim biyachad. Lo umrim biyachad. Midabrim biyachad means automatically there's an exchange over here. Because what I'm saying to you is going to have an effect on you. It's going to guide you to a certain degree. Again, you can speak back to me. When you have a bigger person, what he says, that becomes more of a source of guidance. When the Rebbe is speaking, that's the ultimate source of guidance. So, his Dvarim, Magid Dvarav Liyakov, his Dvarim that he says, those are the way I am manig my world. It is this the way I manig my world. That it's my diburim, and this is the way I guide the world. I'm saying it over to you, to Yaakov. I'm saying it over to you. I'm giving over to you the way that the world is directed. By giving you the Torah, I'm giving you the way that I direct the world. Because the Torah is the source of the world. The Torah is the blueprint of the world.
Right, that's to say that Hashem's speech is more than just
speech.
Physicality.
Right.
It is existence.
Right. He's giving over the hanhag of the world. So it says the Tzfas Emes, Perish Dvarav hu aseret adibros hu hanhagosa yizvarach es kol abriya. Kosha amati mokam acher. Ki basara mamoros nivra olam u basara adibros miskayemet haolam. The asara mamoros, as it were, that gives kiyum to the world. And the Asaras Adibros is how to guide the world, how the world should continue. The first 26 generations, really, the world was missing that. The Torah didn't come down to the earth for 26 generations. The first 26 generations, the world lived on chesed. So because the hanhaga, the guides of the world, wasn't given to it yet. Okay? Miskayemes,
so all... 10 sayings of the world, what are they supposed to do?
That gives existence to the world. But then the continuity of the world was going through a freebie for 26 generations till the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Till the Torah was given to them. Because really the goal of the world is to be directed through the Torah. So, but Kodesh Baruch Hu was unilaterally guiding the world. But really the goal of the world is that it should be guided from within through the Torah, not from out. So therefore it's an act of chesed. He was doing it unilaterally. Yeah? So, with Aseres Adibos, Miskayemes Olam Shakodesh Baruch Hu, Maniga Olam, the mitzvos.
Third time we're hearing this.
Upikudav Shemasa Livnei Yisrael. He says it all the time. Right? All the time. V'chol Davar Yesh Mitzvah Miuchedes. In every Davar, in every thing, in every object, there is a mitzvah Miuchedes. There's a mitzvah associated with it. The Hei Mekayim Yimakol, and that's what gives existence to everything.
In every
event, every object has a mitzvah that can be associated with it. Some mitzvahs are formal, tzitzis, tefillin, right, etc. And some mitzvahs are less formal. They're also mitzvahs. How you deal with a situation, how you deal with a person, how you deal with an object, etc. Right?
That means everything.
Ukefish shmiras bnei Yisrael mitzos kach misnayga olam. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get the line. Miskemes olam shakosh brochu manig olam b'mitzos b'kurim shemasil bnei Yisrael v'chol davar yesh mitzvah yucheres heimekayim mekol. Ukefish shmiras bnei Yisrael mitzos, and the degree to which Klal Yisrael is meshom in the mitzos kach misnayga olam. That's the way the world is. That becomes the way the world functions properly. The degree to which Klal Yisrael mekayim the mitzvos. So they're holding the reins. We're the captain at the helm of the ship after the Torah's been given to us.
That has to do with
Matan Torah? Yeah, from the time he gave us the Torah. Uh-huh. So the world is conducted in a healthy, or God forbid, a less healthy fashion based upon our Shemiras HaMitzvahs. Nimtzeh Shebemesh HaNasan HaMitzvahs L'Bnei Yisrael Masar HaNhagas HaOlam B'Yadeinu. He placed the guidance of the world in our hands. V'zeh Tzorech Kol Adam Leida.
Matan Torah, we became partners.
Right. Right. V'zed tzorech kol adam leida, that each person must know, ki anhogas hakol toli b'kiyom ha-mitzvah shel adam kanal. The person's got to know that the direction of the world is completely dependent upon his conduct, his shmiras ha-mitzvahs. U'mishpatav l'vnei Yisrael, u'mayla g'dolim izos. Because look, it says, Magi dvarav le'Yaakov. Whenever we talk about Yaakov and Yisrael, Yaakov is a lower level, Yisrael is a higher level. Do we accept the dibur of Hashem? We did. We accepted. We said, Na'aseh v'nishma. We completely are willing to submit to Hashem's will. We'll do it, and then we'll understand it. Na'aseh v'nishma. So now, after that's true, chukov u'mishpatav li'Yisrael. So like we said before, the Medrash didn't really explain chukov, but I dare say the when we accept Hashem's word, right, whether we understand it or not, that's the nature of the chok. That's the nature of the chok. And there's even things that you know, we've accepted it as a chok. We don't know what he's going to tell us yet. But we've already said we'll accept it. So when he says to us those words, we're accepting it like a chok, totally, unconditionally. There's also the concept of a chok, lechem chuki. In other words, that's what's necessary for the world to continue. Lechem chuki means the bread that I need to survive. My daily bread, lechem chuki. So every chok, the concept of a chok, is truly associated with the idea of that one which you don't understand, but if you understand that the world is predicated, built upon accepting the will of Hashem unconditionally. So therefore, the chok becomes the lechem chuki, as it were. It becomes the sustaining bread of the universe. But now, Mishpatav goes to Yisrael. What's, how's that a higher madrega? Shekama Mishpat Masar Lebnei Yisrael Kasher Matzinu Shekeshe Yotza Mibezdin Zakai Ein Magzirin Oso Nimshe Kodesh Baruch Hu Masar Mishpat Lebnei Yisrael. Once we've accepted the Torah unconditionally, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Mishpat is in your hands, and now you generate the Torah in the world. I will, just like you said before, that the Torah will now conduct, the world will now be conducted according to the way you paskin. He says, as an example, if a person, as it were, goes out, he's a, the case has been adjudicated, he leaves Beis Din, as it were, is vindicated, and then afterwards they find some other facts which should change the case, too late already. I mean, maybe not in a civil case between two people, but what do you call, but in a capital case.
Say, go back a few sentences, one sentence before that.
The idea being that when we accept unconditionally, right, Hashem's diburim, we accept them like a chok, right? This becomes the bread of the universe. It's the fundamental of the universe. And now the mishpatev, right? All of the dinim of the Torah now become, are in the hands of Klal Yisrael. What we paskin, Bova Shemayimi. What we paskin, that becomes the Torah now.
So because we accept the Chokim without knowing what they are,
because we accept the Torah in general,
it gives us the ability to, what to do if the Mishpatim makes it easier, makes it...
Once we have submitted, right, they will accept whatever Hashem says, the Diburim of Hashem,
right.
So then, now the Torah belongs to us.
Therefore,
so what we paskin becomes the Torah.
Because of the
willingness to in other words, as you're, as a person is willing to submit to Hashem's will, so he's appended himself on to Hashem's will. So now what he says now becomes the word of the Torah. Chuk of Mishpat of Yisrael, it's now ours. What we decide becomes the Torah. Again, because only because we've submitted to the Torah. This, God forbid, shouldn't be confused with what, you know, people go around trying to get the Torah to say what they want it to say. They haven't submitted to anything. They're trying to create God in the image of man. We call they're out to lunch, not coming back for supper. They have nothing to do with Matan Torah. I mean, they may have been there, but they spaced it. That's what it says in the Medrash. Yeah, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not like a person of flesh and blood. Here, the Medrash is telling us not only, right, he makes the world, right, he made the world according to the Torah, he says to us, and then after he said to us, he continues to do it like us. He continues to do it like us. And he will now, he recalls the halacha is like what Bnei Yisrael says. Zeh nachigel nachamol. Zeh shomra medrash hakadosh baruch hu eino kibasav adam rak shemekayim hu atzmo hagzera shenishtane kav yochol hamishpat elyon adei bezin shlamata shekach moser mishpatav liyisrael.
So Hashem will hold by that what would
be paskin? Because lo bashamayim. Amna Beis Elu Habachinos Em Zeh Achar Zeh. But we have to remember that these are linear, right? In other words, one comes after the other. Kishe Bnei Yisrael Kibla Dibros Mikodem. It depends. Hashem is willing to follow the interpretation, the guidance of the Torah generated by the Jewish people only after the Jewish people previously accepted the Torah unconditionally. So, Kishe Bnei Yisrael Kibla Dibros Mikodem Hu Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim Ol Mitzvos Af Bli Hasagas Taimim. That's Nasa V'Nishma. Even before he understands anything, complete submission to his direction. Like the time Zeres HaMelech Lius Misnaig Ba'olim Baratzan HaBorei Adei Shmiras HaMitzvos Shal Bnei Yisrael Kamo Shebiyanu Lamala. Like he says, Zohu Achagach Ela Mishpotim Shu Hasagas HaKol HaPiyat Seichel. And then you can understand, right? Then once we accept that, then we can, and then Mishpat, that's Nezikin. Person who wants to be Mis'ala, he should be Osik in Hilchos Nezikin, because that teaches him, right? That's the way what it does is it plugs him in to a system which is very human, but he finds the Torah way of looking at that so human system into what he calls the interrelationship between people, so damages, thefts, right? Yeah, no, but what he calls it, it's the most human. Right? It's the most human, it's the most the thing that you say, but this is not, you know, what would you call theological, this is not transcendental. Right, yeah, right. So when as it were, when a person accepts the Torah unconditionally, then of course Baruch Hu gives them the ability to understand how to translate what appears to be the most mundane into Torah. Expressions of Torah, understandings of Torah, depths of Torah, in what appears to be the most mundane, that transforms the individual. That transforms them. Then the person becomes a different person. Again, when a person is taking a lulav, right? He's taking a lulav and he's taking a shofar, he's lighting a menorah, he's whatever he's doing. So in the world of theology, So Seder, okay, that's great, but unfortunately it's very easy at the same time for a person to translate the mundane into a different world. How I deal with people, what I say to them, how I act with them, how I relate to them. A person lives in two worlds. It becomes a schizoid existence. There's between me and God, and then, you know, whatever. Then it's me and that schnook. Right? That imbecile over there. Right? But when a person unconditionally accepts the Torah, because the person says, I'll do you a favor, then I'll give you an incredible gift. After you've accepted my Dibros, so now it'll be Chukav Mishpatav LiYisrael. My chukim, my shpatim will now be yours, to the point at which you will determine what the halacha is. But that also is the flip side of that coin is it transforms the mundane. I relate to the most mundane things in life. Damages, thefts, yeah, all of these things. People's money, my money, their money, etc. I relate to it on a whole different level through the Torah. That transforms my existence. That transforms who the Jew is. Because he's not living a schizoid existence anymore. Ra'orot l'hachkim. A person wants to become wise, he should be osik in the zikin. Why? I mean, there's different opinions of that. But what do you call it? He wants to be machkim. He wants to be able to accept chokhmah from above. He wants to be able to accept everything. Yeah, from an outside source. Not just what do you call it? Well, this is what my belly tells me. Right? My belly tells me that the guy over there, you know, I should give him a kick in the whatever. You use your mind, you use your logic, but what happens is you become transformed. Because you realize that even the things that are most here every day, is really all an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's communication to us and how we deal with the Tzel HaMilkim, etc. Kfi Yaskomas Das B'nei Yisrael Shlamata Maskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imoyim. The third to the last. And according to the way the Das B'nei Yisrael is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with them. V'zeh, now the second line, smack dab in the middle. Yeah, V'zeh Perish, I mean, except for those two lines. V'zeh Perish Nasa V'nishma. By accepting to do everything that Hashem says, then you understand. Then you understand very deeply. You understand that really everything in the world is God's will. Shehi hasoga kanal. Ze'ela mishpatim vav mosi pal inyan rishon she'in la hasiga mishpatim racha kabolas adibros. That's the vav hachibur between mishpatim and Yisro. The only way you can deal with mishpatim properly, the only way you can deal with the mundane world properly, the only way you can learn how to deal with people properly, is if you accept previously, unconditionally, the dibur of Hashem. En kamo. Unbelievable. Beautiful. Okay, Zell.